Beyond Athletic, episode 50.
Maybe because I'm an athlete, there was no giving up. And so I didn't. And I just moved forward step by step. It wasn't easy, but I just made sure I was getting better every day.
You might be smarter. Your daddy might own a company, but you will not outwork me.
This one right here is for the people.
I'm your host, Ryan J. Owens, current pro athlete, entrepreneur, and former USA national team volleyball player. I will not be defined by my athleticism alone, but I've learned how to leverage it to stay passionate about it and prepare for life. That's why the Beyond Athletic podcast was born. I'll bring you case studies of current and former elite athletes making it happen in life, as well as tips and lessons from top sources in sports, nutrition, fitness, entrepreneurship, and more. I'm here to tell you that you are beyond athletic. Hey everyone, this is RJO back with another episode of Beyond Athletic. This is episode number 50, so if you like it, make sure you share out beyondathletic.com/50, the numbers. So, today's episode is Chineze Nwagbo. She is a pro athlete, basketball player. I'm very happy to say that I finally got another basketballer on, and coming up, there's going to be some more. And just a hint at that, there's an American coach that will be on. There's a Finnish national team pro who's played internationally. There's another youth coach and author from America. So there's definitely a lot with basketball coming up, and I definitely want to transition into more sports. But the general theme is always there, right? Athletes, we can take something from everything. So hopefully for the volleyball listeners, you will get something new out of this. If you do enjoy it, please let me know. And if you think of any basketball players that this could help, share it with them. Anyways, enjoy. Hey there, everyone. Welcome back. Today's guest is Chineze Nwagbo. She plays basketball. I might have butchered that, by the way, but she is going to say how to say her name the right way, because that's the first time I've officially said it both together. She rolled her eyes in the video. I just want everybody to know that. Hi, welcome to the show.
Hi. Yes, my name is Chineze Nwagbo. Everybody calls me Chinny, so. Chinny, you can just call me Chinny.
But I like the Chineze. I'm still saying it wrong.
Now you do, now that you're saying it right, but it's cool.
What was that? All right, so I'm going to work on that, but while I'm working on that, let's give a brief snapshot of your bio up until now, and I'm going to let you take it away and introduce yourself and say how, you know, you got to where you are basically today. So you've been a professional basketball player for 11 plus years all over the world. You've traveled to 5 of 7 continents playing in the best leagues. You're also a motivational speaker, and you believe in paying it forward and helping people, which I love. I love. Speaking to as many young minds as possible. You studied at Syracuse University. You're a student athlete there playing basketball, and you're from Maryland, but born in Iowa, Midwest. Ooh, I'm Chi-Town. And that's a little bit about you. So what I want you to do, though, is take it away right now. And I want you to paint that picture for people, like how life was growing up for you, how you got into basketball, and then fast forward to just the last few countries you've been playing in.
Okay, cool. I was born definitely in Iowa, probably the best state in the world. Woo! My parents are Samuel and Cordelia, and we grew up in an area that was, like, for me, amazing. Iowa was, of course, everyone always makes jokes about like cornfields and nothingness. And that's pretty much what it was. But it was a great feeling there. And I moved to Maryland when I was about 8. I have 2 brothers and a sister. And I think around the 9th grade in high school is when I discovered I absolutely loved playing basketball, because that's when I was introduced to it. 9th grade, yes. I started when I was 14. I was in the hallway in high school, and the coach came up to me because I was about 6 feet at the time. And he said, "Had you ever played?" And I said, "No." And he said, "Well, come out to the basketball team." And I said, "Okay, cool. That sounds good." And from then on, I ended up being a player who was absolutely horrible, to working on my skills, to becoming a player that got a scholarship, a full scholarship, to go to Syracuse. my 12th grade year. So I went from there to Syracuse, and from Syracuse, I had the opportunity to go play overseas, which was amazing. And I started off in Spain and played there for 6 years.
Wow.
And after that, I played in Portugal. I also played in the World Championship Games for Team Nigeria in Brazil. And then I also played in Poland for another 3 years, played just recently in Chile in the South American Championship Games. And I just got back from Israel about a month ago playing there. So my basketball career is quite extensive, and I've played pretty much all over Europe. So that's basically it in a nutshell.
Boom. That is a very, very good nutshell. And for all of the prep work we just did, for people that don't know, like, I know you were a little bit worried about it, but you just nailed that so much better than most people hit it, because you just like, boom, 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 boom. I love it. I love it. Okay. So there's a lot of good things in there. I think people really get this picture of how it was for you, and people will be able to relate. That's kind of the reason why I want to give that snapshot, right? So when you were younger though, did you mention really like the sports that you were playing? Just go through a little bit of those.
I didn't, because I really wasn't playing any sport. I really wasn't involved in anything in particular. I kind of just was like a kid that had fun. You know, you get on your bikes and you go out and you play with your friends. And that's basically what I did. I mean, my dad ran track. He also played soccer for Nigeria. But that was it. I mean, there was nothing I was actually committed to. I enjoyed everything. I was pretty active. So, yeah. Mm. Nothing in particular.
Yeah. But you know what? I really want to highlight this, because there's been something going on that's really strange. Have you ever noticed that? You go back home, and have you noticed that less and less kids play outside?
And that's why I think America, with America, I'm not sure how it is overseas, but they struggle with childhood obesity, because everyone's inside on their computers, on their iPads. They're doing things that are not active. And so, yeah, that's kind of sucky, but I don't remember ever being in the house. I always wanted to go outside, and I always wanted to play. Summertime was the best time. So
Fresh Prince song just came in my head, but anyways. All right, we've gotten through the snapshot. I like to take this time really to set up everything to show people that, you know, sports, athletics, all this whole journey we're going to be on, it's going to be a lot of ups and downs. And those downs are going to define us and help us grow more than the ups ever will, in my opinion. I don't know how you feel.
Right.
But.
No, you're 100% correct.
Yeah. Let's take it to a place in your life, like a time, sport or otherwise. If you've got two quick ones, you could go one sport and one life. Or if you have one major one, let's pick one. But where you failed, or where you stumbled, where you struggled. And then we'll highlight how you overcame that.
I don't like to call them failures. I just like to say that they're more like setbacks, but we'll talk about, in the beginning, when I first played, I had a lot of parents and players. They were very not nice. And so I would say that those were setbacks, when they used to tell me that I wouldn't make it and I wasn't going to be a professional basketball player, or I wouldn't get a scholarship. But then another setback I had was, tearing my ACL the same year that my dad passed away. And so I don't necessarily know about failures, because it's all been a journey, and maybe I haven't focused on those things, but those have definitely been really tough setbacks that I've had to deal with in terms of my career and being a professional athlete.
Mm.
And they intertwine with my life, because it's been my life. Yeah. So.
And so
that makes any sense.
I mean, we just recently had on an athlete, Carly Wolpat, whom her twin passed. And in dealing with, there's going to be losses in our life, you know? And so I really want to speak right now into that, because you went through something that some other people might go through or might have gone through. And so for you going through this period where you had this injury and you were getting over the loss of your father, it's hard to say, how did you get past that? It's once you were to the point where you were moving forward, what were your takeaways? Like, what were your, like, how do I move forward?
So how was I able to move forward and kind of deal with everything that was going on in terms of that situation? You just deal. I mean, I had a lot to do with God and just focusing on myself. I'm not sure if you can say God on the show, but
you can say whatever you want.
You know, I don't want to lie, because it was very, very hard, but it just was all about getting back to why I'm here in the first place, you know. And my dad passing, he wanted me to be successful at what I was doing. And so to not give time and effort into what had already been, you know, made because of him in terms of foundations and things of that nature, and to go backwards was not something that would have made him proud. And so I had to think of, I was doing it for myself, I was doing it for my family, and I was also doing it for God. And so that's kind of how I was able to move forward. That's where I was getting my source and my energy from and my fuel. So it was just one of those things where ingrained in me, maybe because I'm an athlete, there was no giving up. And so I didn't. And I just moved forward step by step. It wasn't easy, but I just made sure I was getting better every day. I mean, I used to cry every day in practice for a long time. And then eventually I just found something to focus on, my happiness, because that was more important, I guess. If that makes any sense.
Yeah. No, it makes complete sense.
I've never asked to talk about that. So that's funny that you asked me that. But yeah, I kind of just brush over that because it was very difficult. So yeah.
No, and I appreciate you sharing more about it because, you know, this is something that you just said. That in itself is a takeaway for listeners. We so often will just bury things or brush over them, you know, quickly when we feel like we've moved past them. And sometimes...
Yeah.
These things, you know, I gave a good example in the athlete blab event that I was telling you about. We had this section where we're talking about how do you maintain things, right? So we were talking about body and mobility and how to do the things every day, right? Set up your day so that you can stay healthy for a while. And so it's the same metaphor that I use where if it's snowing, I'm in Finland. It stops snowing now. Thank goodness. I love snow. But it finally stops snowing, so I don't have to like shovel any more snow or anything like that. okay. But some days it would just snow forever, day after day after day. And if I went outside with this broom, I literally have a broom. It broke in half. It did. And I can prove that. I'll put up a picture of that in the show notes. But I could sweep off the snow each and every morning, let's say, and evening. I could just sweep it off and in 1 minute. Or I could wait 5 days until there was half a meter of snow. And now what do I have to do? Right. I have to work my butt off to get right. out of the house. So it's like that. Right. Do you feel like that you did a good job of not completely ignoring it and, you know, acknowledging it?
I think I did. Here's the thing. And if I'm being 100% real with you, and this is the truth, it's not always easy, not just because of what you're going through, but because of your coaches and you being an athlete. That's the hard part. Sometimes some coaches are not understanding of those types of situations. Sometimes some situations are, you know, and that's the real deal. And so that's why people brush a lot of things over, because that's what we're taught. We're taught to brush it underneath the rug and keep it moving because we're strong, we're athletes. But yes, I did find time to grieve. I did find time to grieve probably after college, after I like forgave my coaches, but because there's a long story to that. But yeah, I did find some time to grieve, and I'm in a really, really good place right now. So
okay.
That's why we're talking about it.
And let's move forward a little bit. And before we get into some of the more juicy stuff, right, we're going to go towards some of your proudest moments, some of your most successful, however you define your success, you know, moments. Let's take a moment just to talk about if you have some quote or personal motto that you believe in, because everybody that latches onto some belief or motto, the quotes, you know, whatever, they mean something special to them. So what is it and why?
Okay. I believe I shared with you, believe in who you are and you'll become what you believe. And why is because that's the story of my life. I honestly, and this is true, when I was like 14, 15, and I was getting ready to, in my mind, become the best basketball player in the world, I used to sit in my room and tell people, I never tell anybody, but I guess I'm telling the world now, have these secret interviews with myself and how I would present myself to reporters after I became the MVP of a league or things of that nature. And I used to believe that I was going to be great. And despite the fact that people were telling me that I wasn't any good and I shouldn't play over their daughters, or I'd never get a scholarship, and then after getting a scholarship, I'd never play pro, I just used to... There was something in me that just believed that I was going to be dynamic, so much so that, and okay, I guess it's not really humble of me to say at all, but so much so that when it came to me being compared to WNBA players, I remember agents telling me that, okay, it's not going to happen. You're not going to do well. And I would be the MVP of seasons where we got the same WNBA players playing there, and I'm just a regular player without the WNBA title. So it is who I am. I believe in myself. I am my own cheerleader. I believe in God, of course. That's the biggest thing here. And so I think if you believe in something and you truly work on it and you truly give your time and effort to it, you'll become it. That's why I like that quote.
Very nice. I love that. I love how you went into it and the why, because the why is so much more important, right? The takeaway from these things is always the most important part. It's like, how do you move forward with these things? Yeah. So I think the nice segue here before we go into one of your proudest moments is to talk about these people that might help you. And like you referred to God as a source of, for instance, your what would you say? Inspiration, everything. So there are also people in your life that are going to help you. And I know you run this mentorship program, which I love and I can't wait to talk about. Seriously, I'm like super excited about it. Super. But the people in your life, just highlight a couple people that helped you in some ways and how they helped you just briefly.
Well, of course, my mom and dad, but that, I feel like that's the answer that everyone's going to give you. They were just supportive. They did what they were supposed to do as parents. My dad was phenomenal. He used to make sure I was, my parents were really big on grades and academics. So they were, that was their biggest thing. Basketball was not number one to them. Definitely their academics. So that, and then my coach, my high school coach, Mr. Walter Clark, just because he believed in me, and he spent time, helping me hone in on my skill that I don't think anyone I would ever meet in life would do right now for me. And so he definitely was and is someone that I definitely look up to. He was amazing to me for no reason at all, you know, because you get older and you start to realize that everyone's doing things for you because there's something that they're going to get in return. And to find people like that who just want to help you for no reason at all and invest time in you because they want you to succeed. And maybe because they see something in you that they have in themselves or had in themselves when they were your age. For me, that's pretty amazing. So my list kind of stops there. There are other people who are active in my life right now who have helped me. But if you're talking about people who have changed my life, those are the few. Mm. And including God, because God's amazing. Yeah. So, yeah.
Oh, I appreciate you sharing those. And I wanted to go somewhere right now with this because you highlighted these people. And then I remember previously you spoke about when you were struggling and the coaches did not help you. And so let's touch on that really quick, because there are times where coaches who should be our mentors are not going to help us. So what was that briefly? Let's not dive 100% into it, but what was it briefly, and what was your takeaway to move forward?
Just briefly, I remember I had one coach when my dad died say to me, I need to just get over it. I was just fresh because I might have been crying in practice. Just get over yourself, get over it, and move on. And I remember looking at her, and in that moment, I knew, okay, you know, it's not her, it's just the sin. And I remember thinking, grown-ups do not have all the answers. So that was one instance. It wasn't in high school. In high school, my high school coach believed in me 100%. Then, okay, real quick, we had a set of coaches in college who did recruit us, and they all got fired my junior year. So we had a whole new set of coaches. And they had a, you know, philosophy that was a little bit different than what I was used to. And that was very, very interesting. And so there was a little bit of a rough patches there as well that you had to like get over. And here I am, a professional athlete, just like a few said that I wasn't going to be. So, yeah.
So I think, I mean, so takeaways I hear, most importantly, I hear a common theme. Look inside for ways to move forward.
Exactly. You have to. That's the only way you can move forward. You can't look and rely on people to give you what you need. I mean, people are going to help you along the way, but it's inside of you. Whatever you want to be, whatever you want to become, all those things are inside of you. God has already equipped you with the tools to be amazing. It's about you honing in on those tools. It's about you reaching inside yourself and utilizing those tools so that you can become amazing. Mm. So despite what people, everyone else around you is doing.
And let's talk about that amazing, right? So when did you, in your career so far, in or out of sport, like I said, it's the same for me. And I want to pay that for people, because I think so many times athletes at a young age, they're thinking like sport is everything. but we both know. Right. It is not everything. Right. And I'm still passionate about volleyball. No. I love it to death. So when it's not going well, it hurts me inside. It does. But let's take it to a moment where you felt extremely proud of yourself, of your accomplishments, something like that, and your takeaway from that.
So that's a really, really, really good question. I used to think it was when I played in the World Championship Games in Brazil in 2006. And then I thought it was, again, when I was the most valuable player, second most valuable player, or most valuable player in Poland, again, in this league that was full of WNBA players that I was, quote unquote, not gonna make it in. And then I realized that the most valuable, the best part of my life probably is the faces that I get to see when I go in and I speak to kids about chasing after their dreams and believing in themselves. That for me is the best moment of all, best moments, because it happens often, of my life and my career. And I know that sounds like probably cliche, but it's the truth. Like I don't get, you know, it's one thing to play and be, yes, you know, I was an MVP. I did this, because I've been an MVP like over 4 or 5 times in my career. And that's cool. But it's one thing to go into a classroom and talk to kids and tell them that whatever they put their mind to, they can become. That for me is like the best accomplishment. And of course, basketball put me on that platform. So I guess that's it. To not be as specific, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I like that. I like that. I'm loving the fact that it's like you said pre-show, you have a feeling that this is going to be something that you're involved in lifelong. And I'm feeling like you keep talking like you're talking, and it is, because I'm already just like, I'm not going to let this one go. I'm not going to let her go. So thank you for sharing that. And
that's awesome. Thank you. I appreciate it.
For sure. What sets you apart, do you think, from other peers, other athletic peers?
That is a good question. Wow. What sets me apart? I don't know what sets me apart from everyone else. I just know me. I don't want to say that I don't concentrate on everyone else, but I kind of don't. So I know me. I'm very passionate. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I'm like extremely passionate. And I just absolutely love what I do to the core. And I guess that's what sets me apart from everyone else. I'm sure everyone else loves what they do, but I'm like kind of like a fanatic. Like that's it. I love what I do. I love my life. I love if whatever I touch and do, I'm going to do it 100%. I'm not a, yeah, that's what it is. I guess that's what it is.
I like that. Whatever you do, you're going to do 100%. I like that.
Yeah, that's right.
I like that so much.
Yeah.
So let's move into a little bit of the toolbox. We're wrapping up here. I know that I'm trying to keep these athlete case studies a little bit shorter in length, because I want to give athletes something that they can kind of digest on the go really quick. And usually it takes about 35 minutes to get somewhere or do something, cook some food, whatever. Okay. So let's move into your athlete toolbox, knowing that if you say so, you're going to come back on the show and we're going to talk some more, right? Yes.
Okay. Yes. Okay.
Awesome. Then what would
I guess I disagree. Yeah. Okay.
Just luring you in there. What would you say are 3 daily non-negotiables that you have to do every single day? It could be anything. Something that you're doing on a extremely consistent basis. Maybe sometimes you miss it, but 3 of them, if you can.
In the morning when I get up, I kind of do like, they say it's called love affirmations, but like self affirmations. I tell myself why I'm here. I thank God for how successful I have been. I thank God for my life. And I try to focus on like all the positive things, because, you know, sometimes we'll get so boggled down in our everyday life that we just forget that, okay, we are actually living a phenomenal life. I'm a professional athlete. What could I be complaining about? You know, there's other people that are, you know, have worse off situations in the world that could, you know, so I focus on those things. That's the first thing I do in the morning. That's just like a daily prayer. What else do I do? I try to maintain like a healthy lifestyle too. I have to exercise. If I don't exercise, I feel like the world is coming to an end, or even if it means like 15 to 20, like crunches, something where I'm like active. And another thing that I practice, is probably going to sound really cliche, is I try to share my smile with people and my energy and positive energy. I try to make someone feel good. It makes me feel good to make other people feel good. So if I'm out and I'm doing something, I'll listen to someone who needs to be listened to, or I'll smile with someone who needs a smile, or, you know, things like that. I know that's probably corny, but I do those things every single day. And I never really thought about that until just now, because you're asking me, but yeah.
Yeah, food for thought.
So I guess those are three things that I can't go without, because I do them every day anyway. So yeah.
And I want to highlight a couple of things in there just for people listening, just takeaways that I got from what you do every day that are really, really important, because I talk about foundational health with elite sports students, the project that I'm doing and what spawned Beyond Athletic, right? And so the foundational health principles, right, they're known to you for sure, but physical is always number one. Everybody thinks healthy. Oh, physical. Yeah. Mental. Then we start getting up to a new level of, understanding about health, right? Then there's emotional, and then there's social. And so my thing is, are you keeping all four of these foundational health principles like as high as possible, right? You're never going to be 100% in all of them. Maybe. Hopefully you could be. Mm-hmm. But what you're doing every morning with your affirmations plus your gratitude, because you're thanking God and you're probably thanking other things or people, things in your life. And this expression of gratitude is huge for just leading people towards more selflessness, right? More of the giving instead of taking. And then the exercise every day is so important.
Exactly.
The exercise is people need to move more. I mean, I know you're sitting. You might be converted by me, by the way, because I'm standing right now. I've been converted by some of these guys like Kelly Starrett, a great mobility coach. He was on the podcast. Also, listen to that episode, Jimmy. Listen to it. Trust me, you're going to love it.
Okay.
I just got the audio redone. So anybody listening to this, if you type Kelly Starrett in beyondathletic.com in the search box, you're going to find his new episode. I'm going to upload that tonight, actually. So it'll definitely be live. But him, and then there's one other guy, Sean Stevenson. If they know that you're sitting all the time, they're like, you are contributing to your health as if you were smoking every day. Because when you get older, you are not going to be able to move well. So the exercise thing is huge. And then share a smile. I love that. I love it. And I've like pushed myself sometime to do the same thing. So I feel you on that. People could take some nice tips from that. Let's go through a couple other things. You're going to give some advice and ways to get in touch with you. And then we're going to say our goodbyes. Sound good?
Okay, cool.
All right. So one skill tip for basketball players out there. I want to give them one skill tip. If you were to take anything you could give as a tip to a developing player or even a pro, something to focus on, something that's worked for you, what would you give them?
Work on your game every single day.
I like it. All right. And you're
every single, like anytime you have free time, work, because there's someone out there that wants the same thing you want. If you're not working on your game, they're blowing right by you. And that can't be an excuse. You have control over the time and effort you put into your game. Work on it every single day.
Love it. Boom. Advice to the younger you. What advice would you give to the 16, 17-year-old you?
About
life advice. Athlete. Life advice. And it could include some athletic advice. Because I think athletics, like sport, is one of the best training grounds for life. You learn everything that you learn in sport is applicable to life.
Well, there you go. That's the life advice. No, I would just say that, no, it's true. I mean, that's it. Everything you learn with your sport can be transferred over to life. And my advice would be very open to learning from people who know what they're talking about. Be very open to people who actually want to invest in you, but not for anything in return. And also, as you get older, the most important thing, I think, is give back, because someone helped you. Someone gave you their time. So pay it forward. It's really not that hard. Like something is in terms of just being involved with someone else's life that wants the same, that wanted the same dream as you when they were younger. So just that, I guess. That would be it, really.
All right. And then last two questions that are going to go together before I ask you how to your definition of Beyond Athletic, which is my favorite question. But what are your plans moving forward now? in your career and in life? And then how can people follow you on that journey? So, you know, Twitter, Facebook, all that kind of good stuff.
Yeah. Okay. So I have quite a bit of plans, but it has something to do with the involvement of the NBA, maybe starting my own organization and things of that nature. So I want to continue on the successful road and journey I'm on to find a platform that put me in a place to be able to help people who enjoy athletics and life. And so without saying too much, that's kind of what I'm planning on doing.
Mm.
So yes, and the organization that I've kind of started right now is called Count Your Stars. And basically what I do is I go out and I just do motivational speaking and I pay it forward to kids. And it's just something where I want to get kids' involvement and I want kids to understand that they can do anything that they put their mind to. And so I do that through motivational speaking. I do that through telling kids my story and sharing with them and then also listening to them, because most kids just want you to listen to them and help them. And sometimes you're helping them by listening to them. So Count Your Stars was made just so that I can go out and pay it forward to children who are in need.
And I'm going to have that linked up in the show notes. We're also going to link up some books, some learning resources you love, some tools, some habits you stay healthy with, some eating tips, some good stuff like that. And then for sure that this thing.
Yes. And you can follow me at Chinny Loves Life on Twitter. Yes. You can also follow me at Chinny_N on Instagram. And also I'm on Facebook, Chinny N. And all of that, everything you read there, all the pictures, all the posts will be something that's inspirational. And with Instagram, if I've spoken to you and you're listening to this podcast, definitely pound Count Your Stars to your photo so I can make a comment and like. So, yeah.
Mm. And that pound is a hashtag for people out there that might not know.
Hashtag, yes. Sorry. Hashtag Count Your Stars.
All right. And we're going to throw that up in the blog post. And then the final question. But before I do that, I just want to thank you so much, Chinny, for coming on the show, for reaching out to me. I know that Carolina Blanco got us in touch with each other. And I'm so appreciative of her and grateful for your time. And I want to acknowledge you for your long road that you've already come. And I can see that you're going so much further and you've had so many winds, so many curves, so many, you know, constructions, and you made it and you're always looking within. And I want people to take away that if they can learn anything from you, it's that everything you want or you need is inside. You just got to find it first.
Right.
So with that, what would be your definition of being beyond athletic?
Wow, that's a good question. Being beyond athletic, being a voice, being strong, being courageous, finding your niche, finding what makes you amazing, and not just applying it to athletics, but applying it to life, and not just applying it to your life, but applying it to others' lives. And enriching the world around you. So that's what beyond athletics means to me. How you can go out into the world and enrich those in the world that surround you.
Mm, wonderful. I love it. So thank you so much for listening, everyone. Make sure you go follow Chinny on Instagram, on Facebook, on Twitter, all that good stuff. The young basketball players out there, know, get out, start moving. Don't just sit in the house.
Yes.
Do stuff, right? And you are never too young or never too old to help other people. You always know something than someone who hasn't done what you've done. So get out there and help them learn. Thanks so much, everyone.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening once again to Beyond Athletic. Make sure you share out this episode. It is number 50. Number 50. So beyondathletic.com/50. So until next time, be more. In the courts, pleading my case from the witness box, telling the judge and the jury the same thing that I said to the cops on the day that I got arrested. What are we doing live? Echoes in eternity. I'm gonna show you how great I am.
And this concludes our Chicago show. Please stay tuned.